I am here now on the scenes with a 1920s newsman. He's going to talk about the current situation. What's happening, sir?
Well, apparently Apple sees the computers as some poor man.
Sorry?
Apparently Apple sees the computers as some poor man. Are you not picking me up here?
It's very difficult to understand you. It's the generation gap, I'm afraid.
It is. It's me breaking through the time-space continuum.
Pardon?
What's that?
I think we're going to have to conclude this interview.
Interview? What interview? I'm on the news. I make the news, don't.
Broadcasting from 3.4 miles above the surface of the Earth in the troposphere, this is episode 14. Sure, but we could have thought of a better title.
Welcome to the Defenders of the Murph podcast. I'm your host, Above Average J. James Story.
I'm your co-host, Cosmic Stress Head Ben Smiley.
I'm your so-co-host, Intertree Johnny Kelly.
So-co-host.
Welcome to the Defenders of the Murph podcast!
Dang! I don't even drink. Anyway, news! As we started with last week, we're going to use this as a sort of way to promote anything that's happened.
Anything
yes.
at all.
So we've started tracking you, listeners.
We have.
We've told you about this before, but you will not remember.
Are you going to choose to forget?
Some of them will, but we'll find them. We'll find them and exterminate them.
Indeed. No, we've started tracking you, but it's nothing to be afraid of. We're tracking how many people have listened to us in which country and what software they're using to download the show. It sounds intrusive. Shut up.
Everyone's tracking you. Why shouldn't we? We're just like one more of the...
We're nice enough only to do it by country level, not use your name, and just, you know, completely ignore everything else that's personal about
you. I think it's nice that we tell them.
It is nice that we, up front, without your ability to opt out, we are telling you that we're tracking, you're listening to the show. So far, we put up the tracking on Wednesday last week. The Mexican girl that we referenced in the show wasn't on the tracking list because she'd already downloaded it, which is nice to know.
That's nice to know.
Or she didn't listen to the show at all.
Well, she commented on my
post. She commented. So, yeah, she listened to the show.
Does it track people who play it using the Wii Flash Player?
Yes, it tracks that. And it tracks
contacting
that's
them.
That's a beautiful thing.
And
it's a beautiful thing. Does it chill on the
thing? I got you.
At the moment, I'm focusing on countries. I'll go to software.
I love my tech talk there. Does it show on the thing?
We have an overlay. An overlay of the different...
My voice was very loud there.
That's good. We need loud.
Yeah.
Just be loud. Express.
Project.
I was looking at the wee bars and it went up quite a bar. It's recording in stereo. I'm not used to that.
I know, but we're going to mix it down to mono so that we get better sound and you don't hear us from the left and right hand side of your headphones.
Although, I'll be actually pretty. No, well, I don't mind. I'm pretty direct. I'm going to be here. I'm going to be bombarding them from both ears, you know.
You're in the middle.
I'm central.
Yes, the other bit of news is we got a new microphone. And we're using it. The prompting of getting the microphone was Ben being far too quiet in the show. Yeah. A fault of his own confidence and our lack of recording equipment.
I'm an expensive host.
No, it's a cheap microphone. You can find it by searching for the Belkin Tune Talk for iPhone and iPod. But yeah, we have a tracking device and we now know what...
There's a disembodied head over there.
There's a disembodied... Did it escape again?
Did you leave the lid off the jar, James?
Get back in your jar!
I think I forgot to put booze in it.
I think he's gone teetotal.
I think he's sober now.
He's wearing a Guinness t-shirt that won't last for
this. Disembodied head, are you sober?
Not so much wearing disembodied t-shirt or sort of attached to his neck. This running there.
Yes, I am quite sober, but looking for a cable.
How can you look for a cable with no body or... I don't understand. Well, do you want us to find it for you?
You've got perfectly good eyes.
Oh, of course. Silly me. So do you want us to get it for you? Have you seen it?
No.
Yes, it's
behind. Well, I did manage to reconcile
some... one of the monitors.
Okay, I'll just get it now. There you go, disembodied head.
Thanks, now I'm going to play Xbox.
Okay, hi. Is Natal out already? Yeah. Is it tracking your nose? Bye-bye.
Bye.
Do, 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 do. We'll add that in.
I'm ready for the future.
Back on Autobahn Earthbase.
We'll record it. I'll make a mark of this. That's three, just about 4 minutes in, and I'll put an editing mark and then drop it in there.
Okay.
All of this will be forgotten.
Will?
What?
All this will be forgotten.
Oh, later? Sorry. I'm just forgetting it too soon.
All these memories will be forgotten like tears in the rain. Time to die.
I've seen James on fire on the shores of Iran.
Ow! I'm on fire! Orion, help me! I'm on fire! Help me!
Maybe we won't take it out of the show then.
Thank you!
you saw Scream, you
were very last time. That was supposed to be a transition to normality.
All right.
So yeah.
Anyway, you're being tracked.
Yes, you're being tracked. We now have, by country, by, as I said, software, and by how many people actually downloaded it. We had 23 downloads in the last week. Unique. 11 of them were in the United Kingdom, which is to be expected, as that's where we're mainly known. 4 in the United States. We know one of them, Bob Raynard, as we mentioned before.
Not Canadian Bob Raynard.
Not Canadian Bob.
How about that?
We had one in Ireland, which is one we prompted ourselves. And the most interesting thing is that we had 7 unique downloads in China.
We are watching you, China, very carefully.
But as a result of finding out that we had these downloads in China, I believe, James, you had an interesting thought about what we should do with these listeners of ours.
Well, how best to put this, really? If you could trade every day from this day to that, I'll give you just one chance to come back here and stand up and be guarded and say, you may take our lives, but you'll never take our freedom!
So yeah, we're going to free you.
We're going to free the Chinese people. A round of applause for freeing the Chinese people. Starting with a mere 7, we are going to take over... No, sorry. Free the Chinese people. Stand up for your voice. Stand up for your freedom. Stand up for your individuality. And make sure not to get killed in the process.
Yes. Mm. You cannot be told what freedom is. You have to see it for yourself.
And then have it taken away from you very quickly and a knife shoved in your head.
Well, no, the guy that stood up against the tank down, all right.
I don't think that's true. We'll put a link out to a documentary about what happened to that man.
It doesn't sound good from the off.
I sent something to do with torture of the testicles. But
what, a tank?
Anyway, so welcome to our Chinese listeners, if you really exist, and you're not just the government trying to... how did we get through the firewall?
I know.
Yeah, that's right. All our tags were kind of religion-related and attracted the attention of the great god in blogosphere.
Well, let's have a look.
God.
Yeah, well, it wouldn't be a god. Well, Richard, I suppose, Dawkins? The Pope. Let's have a look at last week's tags here. We've got... Anti-Pope Felix the Cat the First, episode 13, Persistent Sexual Arousal Syndrome, podcast, Pope, Priests, Richard Dawkins, and We Fit. Why would that get through the firewall?
I don't know. I really don't. It might have something to do with the big old man holding the phone. No.
Subtitles, Ben is now showing a picture of the inventor of the original mobile phone from a BBC article we'll be talking about later in the show, and zooming in on his eyes.
It looks like he was basically in a shed outside Nokia, and they didn't really know what he was doing in there, and he just runs out, surrounded with smoke bellowing from the shed, holding this brick of a phone going, I have invented the future!
Yeah, well,
I didn't think it was important, but he also invented the trampoline. Somebody stole his idea.
Is it just me or does he look like Alan Sugar's dad?
Well, his name is Marty Cooper, and he's the inventor of the mobile phone. Martin Cooper may not be a household name, but his invention is familiar to more than half the planet's population, who now own a mobile phone. The concept of a handheld phone was his brainchild. Brainchild?
The concept of mobile communication technology has been around forever.
No. It's been around for as long as we've been alive. Forever in that sense, yes, because there wasn't any time before we existed in our experience, but not forever. I mean, back in like 5000 BC, the Egyptians, you know, at the time weren't going, how am I going to communicate better with old Moses here about how he's not going to take away my slaves? I don't have GoToMeeting. I don't have some sort of cell technology. I don't even have technology. I have a stick. Turns into a snake. But, I mean, a stick. wasn't thinking, I need a way to communicate across.
If you really choose to believe that version of events, because there's certain historical evidence that suggests that the Jewish population weren't entirely slaves. In fact, they were viewed as very skilled craftsmen and just decided to leave one day.
It doesn't help with the mobile phone argument, though, James. There wasn't a mobile phone idea.
I just thought I'd put back in the idea.
Was Martin Cooper a Jew? Because this might tie in quite nicely.
I have no idea. I didn't do any research. I'm not that kind of person.
You can convert to Judaism and convert from Judaism.
I thought I was a...
Did I just go mental here, or did I not recollect the idea? The only way that you could be considered Jewish is if your mother was Jewish. Not even your father, if your mother was Jewish.
I think that's the Orthodox view.
Is that the Orthodox? Oh, so they're just good, like, you know, you're just like a crap Jew?
Yeah, yeah, okay. Fake one.
A fake Jew.
I honestly don't have a clue what I'm talking about. I'm just kind
of... You know. Well, how can you join the chosen people? Like, I've chosen to be chosen. How does that work?
No, you're always a Gentile. You're always a Gentile. But anyway, the concept of the handheld phone was his brainchild, and with the help of his Motorola team... Hang on, he had a Motorola team?
How long?
That sounds like a phone. With his Motorola team, he just backward...
The first
engineered technology and made a bigger...
The first handset was born in 1973, weighing in at 2 kilograms. That was a big phone. Mm-hmm. When he stood on a New York street and made the first phone call from a prototype cellular phone, he could not have conceived how successful it would become. Now a worldwide telecoms industry has sprung up around, along with a vast array of technologies developed for mobile phones.
No one would have believed that in the early years of the 1970s, human affairs would be watched and scrutinized and listened to by everybody in very loud conversations.
With a shortwave radio as well. You could pick up the analog signal back then on a CB, so you could actually listen into people's analog telephone conversations.
I don't make an image of the first phone call, him going to this New York and said, this is going to be the first ever phone call. And he dials the number and says, "Hi, you've reached the SNM hotline. Soon you will be joining one of thousands of girls around the world for some sexy fun."
What the dickens? He looks like he would say.
As a result of that, we had to virtually shut down all engineering at our company and have everyone working on the phone and the infrastructure to make the thing work on the day that he made the first phone call via sex line. The first phone call from a mobile phone to a sex line, and I'm sure that does track all the way back to 5000 BC. But,
Stupid question of the week!
That's okay, it's good that it comes from you.
What did Motorola do before phones? Because I've always known them as, you know...
They invented the wheel.
Did they?
Yes.
Motorola?
Do you see what I did there?
Yeah!
That's clever.
That was...
He's good, that one.
You are good.
That's why we have him on the show.
Thank God I found my calling on the show.
That and the workout, exactly how we are staying aloft. Anyway.
Yeah, work that out, fat science boy.
Oh, on an unrelated note, I was actually outside. I was doing an EVA. You think it's difficult in space? You think it's difficult? Try with 300-mile-an-hour winds. Standing on top of a moving space station in the middle of a very low, treacherous orbit, painting Jesus Christ on the top of the station.
Currently 3.4 miles above the surface of the Earth.
We're climbing, if I'm going to...
Oh, yes, on the show notes last week, we did discover that the Pope does have his own plane, but it isn't one he owns himself. Whenever he gets to a country that he needs to have a plane in, he sort of commandeers the leading private jet, like one of them, and then it becomes like colloquially known.
Commonly.
Colloquially, I got one of those.
I appreciate that. We'll play a wee tune.
Kakadoo, kakadee, but you do colloquially.
Locally known as the Shepherd One. So there you go. He does have a plane.
That's a terrible name.
It's in the shape of a giant crook.
Yeah.
But it's only hired for the day, and they use the existing private aircraft crew from what would have been that flight. So there's no, like, specific staff of Pope.
Staff crook.
Anyway, Motorola's started in Chicago, Illinois as Galvin Manufacturing Corporation in 1928, with its first product being a battery eliminator.
Mm-hmm. That sounds like some sort of robotic killing machine. I am the battery eliminator.
Well, what is a battery eliminator is the next question.
TheHowStuffWorks.com
is a device powered by an electrical source other than a battery. Oh, which it then converts the source to a suitable DC voltage that may be used by a second device designed to be powered by batteries. It eliminates the need to replace batteries, but may remove the advantage of portability. So it's a main power source. Okay.
That explains, like, the size of the first mobile phone, then.
Hold on. What?
There'll be more.
How was it mobile then?
No, it isn't. No, this is what they did in 1928. It's nothing to do with a mobile phone. James was making a very good joke based on what we were talking about before.
I've ruined it all.
Yes, but it's okay.
Can you just edit me out? I don't mind. It doesn't matter that much.
We'll keep you in. If only for nostalgic reasons, we can go back and remember that Ben existed once at a time that we remember.
Before he lost his mind.
Exactly. So even by 1983, a portable handheld cellular telephone cost $4,000, £2,600, which would be the equivalent of more than £6,500 today, or $10,000. I don't know why I switched them, but I did. Cooper said that his team faced the challenge of squeezing thousands of parts into a phone for the first time.
Thousands of parts.
People have tried. The Guinness World Records holds only about 200.
He says the industrial designers did a superb job, but by the time the engineers got done, we ended up with 2.5 pounds. A very substantial part of the first phone was, in fact, the battery. There you go. Which weighed 4 or 5 times more than the entire cell phone now.
Yeah.
The battery life was 20 minutes, but that wasn't really a big problem because you couldn't hold the phone up for that long anyway.
Anyway, see, that was good design.
I mean, you know your audience, you know? They're going to be willing to spend, nearly 20 grand on the first one, it said. And you know, they're busy people. They don't want to have a long conversation on the phone. They want to get things done. So
I'll try and find it. I think there's a Shindogu-type contraption that goes on your shoulders and straps to your back, and it's got kind of these metal pulleys.
I've seen it,
and there's a pulley. You hold the rope with one hand, and it pulls your hand holding the phone up.
I've seen this backpack that sort of reduces the amount of overall weight with the two poles that bounce up and down on a kind of... Well,
suspension
device. It reduces the overall weight to your back. It's quite a cool invention. But anyway, the main reason we're looking at this article is that there's a quote from Mr. Cooper here that is just, it's sensational, and I wanted to publicize it. He says, in the future, he's talking about way in the future, whenever mobile phones are no longer a thing in our hand, he says, the cell phone in the long range is going to be embedded under your skin, behind your ear, along with a very powerful computer, who is, in fact, your slave.
How do we get the feeling? Like, looking at the picture and the article, how do we get the feeling that this got the point of the article and it's about over, and then all of a sudden, the head drips, one of the eyes goes off to the left, dribble comes out, and he just goes mental. Because how does not the...
I don't know, it's meet the Marty Cooper, the inventor of the mobile phone, and the progenitor of a slave race of computers.
To live in your head.
To live in your head.
That's a good place to keep computers that you're enslaving.
And a little bit later on, he pushes a few buttons on the back of his head, and he calls up Mel Gibson, and he goes, it's happening again, Mel. And Mel goes, I know, it's happening, we too, wee.
going back to us tracking you as our listeners, one of the questions that was asked there was what sources are most being used to listen to the show. At the moment, there are seven people were using Windows Media Player, 7 were using a Windows version of iTunes. Only 2 were using a Macintosh version of iTunes, and I think I know who those 2 were, James and Ben.
No, one of them wasn't me.
Oh, okay. So at
least only one of them was me.
And then
you saw through that.
4 use their browsers distributed equally between Internet Explorer and Mozilla. And then there's someone on an iPhone, which was probably me, just testing that it worked.
So what success like that is, CNET contacted us about, you know, doing a show for them or any of the big podcasters, because that's success.
Oh yeah, 23 people in a week. Yeah. My God. I get listened to less than that in my work.
I think it's time to contact Twit, let them know that, you know, we're ready to move up.
I think we are.
You bring our viewership over to them.
In a more technology type of news, Facebook is set to take over the internet. I'm sorry to say. I mean, we're tracking you just in a general way. They're tracking you in almost every way imaginable, as long as you leave yourself logged into Facebook. Last week, they proposed, Mark Zuckerberg, the owner of Facebook, in a conference about the future of Facebook, luckily.
Ours, he's known by his other name, Spymaster General for the Secret Organization of Spy Bastards.
Ben, any thoughts?
Yeah.
I don't think that's his full title.
No, he's
probably... There's a few more, so...
No, I think he's head bastard on that particular division.
Yeah, so it's another BBC News article here. Facebook's bid to rule the web as it goes social. Facebook sets out... No, no. Facebook set out its stall to unseat Google and be the heart of the web experience as it becomes more social. The world's largest social network unveiled a series of products at its developer conference, F8, aimed at helping the company achieve that goal. Now,
I'm scared of Facebook.
Yeah, it is
a
scary thing.
To put that out there, I'm terrified of Facebook, and I want to get rid of Facebook.
But all your friends, join us!
Exactly. And I'm going to do a kind of Richard Dawkins God delusion thing here. I'm going to appeal to the people who want out of Facebook but just can't get themselves to do it. There is an alternative to Facebook, and it's not being on Facebook.
Is it Bebo?
No, it's just not being on Facebook.
Not even like Friendster?
No.
What?
You don't have to do it.
Surely fucking...
You can talk to people...
What about some sort of Microsoft...
MySpace? Yeah.
No.
Are you suggesting we all use MySpace, Ben?
Suggesting we all speak in real terms to people on real phones.
What are you talking about? We have mobile phone technology. I mean, thanks to Martin Cooper, we're able to... Well, maybe not thanks to him, but thanks to someone, maybe Steve Jobs, we're not able to talk to each other without even looking at each other. It's brilliant.
There's you're right, I can't give it up. I'm sorry.
It's...
No, there's an odd thing about Facebook in that if you follow a bunch of people and you don't see them that often and they actually use it to update what's going on in their life, you end up getting to this point when you meet them again, you've got nothing to talk about. Everything that they've done, you've heard about and commented on and discussed or liked at the time. And then whenever they go, oh, did you hear about, yes. Did you hear me about, yes. Okay. And then you're sort of left with this sort of odd... awkward silence because everything's been discussed.
Oh yeah, I am definitely going to jump on the Ben fuck Facebook bandwagon. I think it is the most dreadful thing that has ever come out of the internet.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Ooh. It really is. I'm completely 100% agreeing with your point there.
Yeah.
It robs you of the art of conversation.
I don't know, I thought it was kind of funny.
What's the point? It extends now to the point of the extreme. Like, everyone's had this situation. You're sitting having a conversation with somebody.
Mm-hmm.
And especially now with, you know, portable technology and everything. Every phone's practically a smartphone now. Mm-hmm. You know, and you're sitting having a conversation, and then out comes the phone. Blip, blip.
Oh yeah. Well, yeah. People.
I'm sorry. What are you doing? Is this conversation not enough? Oh, I'm just checking my Facebook. But yes, you're interacting one on one with an actual person. But yes, this. Mm-hmm. I need to update my status. Oh, and ha ha ha! Look, there. Someone's posted a photograph. This is real life. You're sort of halting something that is real for something that is disconnected.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay, but I think you're being a little bit disingenuous, James, because you have in your own time in social events where we have been sat down, for example, in the first episode of Doctor Who, you were receiving texts and you went away from the show and weren't watching it with the group of people you're with. The distractions exist not just from Facebook; they exist from all technology in our.
But life. I wasn't seeking out that interaction. Okay, that's the one thing. And you know,
oh yeah, yeah, you didn't go, I'm going to now check if I have any text.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Plus, I hate mobile phones.
Yeah, but as evidenced by you never answering yours.
Yeah, I despise mobile phones. I despise Facebook. I hate this everybody must be connected at all times system. It's just, this is why I started to hate computers.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow, it's a good thing we're doing a Web 2.0 all over the world podcast that we're tracking people.
the great thing about the podcast is, and this is the absolute thing I love about podcasting, is it's there when I want it.
Hmm.
You know, I don't mind entertainment on demand, but you're right, I've come into many social situations where it's basically like, you know, especially in work or something, or even you bump into somebody and, you know, you see their life. Status update, status update, status update. You know, you know basically a lot about their life without even physically speaking to them.
Yeah.
And most of my conversations tonight are basically follow-up questions based upon status updates. Mm-hmm. If there's even any questions at all, it's like, oh, I see you last night, such and such, you know, oh, you're not very happy, you said you were pissed off last night, what happened there, and you know...
Mm-hmm.
And for you know, but that's not real conversation.
Could it not eventually become a complement to conversation rather than taking it over from it?
I've had conversations where I've asked someone how they are, and they've said, "What do you mean? you know, I'm not okay." Because they put it up on Facebook, so they assume everyone knows. I don't check Facebook that often, and people know I don't.
So you're saying it's become you're a slave to it.
I have to. I can't phone someone up and talk to them anymore. Mm-hmm. I have to check Facebook just to make sure I'm up to date with everything that's going on. So practically, the phone call is redundant.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
You know, every 2 seconds they're going, "Oh, now I'm downstairs." You know, just.
Oh, and the fact that people now. The fact that people now use Facebook to measure their lives.
Yeah.
It's like, hello, this is my friend. Well, we're not real friends. Why are we not real friends? Because you're not my friend on Facebook.
Mm. There's an odd thing, actually, in my old work. Ryan, who we've mentioned before, we gave him a name on episode 10. And he actually finally texted me the name we gave him about him being a B-day. But, yeah, it took him a couple of, a month to listen to the show all the way through because he was going back and forth on the train. But, yeah, his experience, if he doesn't mind me talking about it, I hope he doesn't. His experience was that he met some people and they started talking on Facebook by messages, but not adding each other as friends. And you say he meets this girl he's interested in and the girl talks to him over the Facebook, but refuses to add him as a friend as a part of that interaction. We'll talk to him over Facebook with messaging, but will not acknowledge that he is a friend. And it confused him.
That would be confusing.
Yeah.
But that's because you have to... He's probably not even evaluating it on part of his own aspect. He's probably evaluating it as part of hers. Like, you know, women are... And this is going to sound very stereotyping, and I'm not meaning to be, but it just appears from my personal experience that women... Basically, Facebook is their be-all and end-all.
Mm.
You know... Like, you know you're in a relationship when you're with the girl.
Mm-hmm.
When the relationship status says in a relationship. Like, does it really have to be that clear cut? Does it have to be, aha, she is in a relationship. Now the status is, you know, I have a girlfriend now. Even though that by traditional standards, you know, there's no big fucking flashy, you know, up in the sky sign has to go up.
Yeah.
It's just something
they're never sort of, used to be.
No.
It now validifies the relationship.
Yeah.
It makes it not real.
It doesn't matter.
Social context.
It doesn't matter to the guy, but it sort of basically says, the, you know, the girl does not consider herself in a relationship until her status says it.
Yeah, my month-long, just over a month-long relationship now is 2 days old now.
On one aspect, the part of you, it probably the relationship probably never really ended for you, but
no, never ended and restarted for me. It just kind of, because there was a hiatus on Facebook, where we went together, that means that we've only been together 2 days now.
I know, and that's
the okay. So it's the metaverse. We now have a metaverse. Facebook is the representation of everything in our actual lives, and becomes more our actual lives than our lives.
The strange thing was when me and my ex broke up.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I knew it was over.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because you get off fights and you know you say I had enough. I knew it was over when about an hour after we broke up, the status changed.
Oh, that's horrible. That is horrible.
You know, that's like that. Not the status changed. You know, in the space of 20 minutes, I went from having a girlfriend to not having a girlfriend and being down one Facebook friend.
Well, much sorry.
No, apologize. It's just a sickening viewpoint of the world that makes me just.
And now Facebook want to get even further entrenched.
Oh,
in your
God, don't
life.
Even get me started on this. Because they're trying to take over the world.
What they want to do is put a like button on every site on the internet. They have said that they will serve 1 billion likes on the web in 24 hours, is their goal.
to have that sort of control. Now, the idea of the like button is it goes on the articles, it goes on the websites, it goes on the individual just things that have been posted up by people. And if anybody hits the like button, they can then comment on it. And if you end up on the same site as them, there's a report of all the people who've been on that site, what they've liked, what they've commented on, and you can look at that social interaction. So you can see what you agree with and what you disagree with your friends. That sounds convenient, but the other side of it, if you flip your mind on the thought of it, is if you don't think of it in terms of friends and just in terms of the technology, that like button appearing all over the internet, if every page you go onto, it knows that you're there and you're logged into Facebook, Facebook now have tracked you across the entire internet. They know everything you've been to, even if you've liked it or not. You've just been there.
Yeah, it's... That's where I was writing.
Now, we track you and we know what country you're in, but that's it. You know, we know what software you use to listen to the show, but that's it. We don't know anything about you. We don't know your name. We don't know the street. We just know the country. But Facebook know your name and whatever you've added to your profile. And a lot of people add a lot of stuff.
But there's even crazier things like this. There's a website, GameSpot. Okay, yeah. Gaming website. They used to have... I used to watch it basically when there was a particular group of employees there. They were on the shows and done the reviews, and for whatever reason, that's not related.
There was a big argument, I think, with the editor. Remember that a couple of years ago.
I don't really want to get too much into it, but basically, one of the review editors, Jeff Gershman, felt that he was being pressured into giving Kanan Lynch the video game a preferable review because the site had been entirely reskinned.
Yeah.
To promote it.
Yeah, so they had advertising dollars in there and they wanted them to give him a favourable review in exchange for keeping that client.
Yeah, apart from there was a small hindrance in that. The game was shit.
Yes.
Well, that happened. So basically, he left over the head of it. I don't know whether he was fired or he was quit, but basically him and a bunch of ex-GameSpot employees went and set up a site called Giant Bomb, which I later defected too. They have a system where you can log in, like many websites now, and you know you can post on forums and things like that. But they seem to have developed a system in conjunction with Facebook that lets you completely bypass any sort of sign-up procedure, and it's called
Facebook Connect.
Facebook login.
Oh, there's Facebook login.
Where basically you click on it, and within about 10 seconds.
Well, within what, like 2 seconds?
Yeah, 2 seconds. You log into your Facebook. It grabs all the details and creates you an account using the information that Facebook already has stored.
Why does it bring your friends' info?
Because it connects to other friends that are in there and things like that. Because basically, your Facebook friends that are also part of Giant Bomb's set work. Basically, in Giant Bomb, you can go in and check your friends.
So this is very similar to the like button. The like button exists, and all people that are logged in can see other people who've liked it or even been on the site. This is the same. If you log in and make an account with Giant Bomb, you're using Facebook. Other people who've already done that, it'll link you immediately too.
Yeah. If you log in,
hang on. What's your problem?
My greatest problem with this, and for everything that you submit to on Facebook, is that it comes up connect to Giant Bomb on Facebook. You know, whatever.
Connect
whatever
to Giant Bomb.
Allow this application to access your friends and information.
Yeah.
It doesn't give any information, nor does it link to any information about how and what information it's going to use.
There's an application on Facebook that will tell you that. There's one that says this is an application that if you add it, it will show you what we know about you and your friends. So you can actually learn what it is that they're allowed to find out.
Okay.
So
that's good. But it's scary as hell because they
access all of your friends. They access all of their updates without their explicit say-so. So you're acting on behalf of your friends, and other friends that you have acted on behalf of you.
The really scary thing is I have heard nothing.
Yeah.
No, what I would expect to be a public clamoring for everything being secure on Facebook. They're all for it being more powerful, and you can do more and more on Facebook, and you can do
the social and public response is usually distrust and hatred.
Not on Facebook.
No, on Facebook as well, at least to some.
Yeah, the default for Facebook now
is public.
and it's not public
anymore? It is, it's public.
No, it's up to change. They brought in the security protocols. I literally, after I updated, after the new Facebook came in, I had to go into my settings and make mine republic, because my Facebook page, I don't care who reads it, is available to everybody, but I had to go and republic and make that available to everybody, because it would have defaulted.
In my memory, it defaults to public unless you've changed it before. If you've changed it before, it'll stay with what you've set yourself, so if you've set it to public. But if you've never set your security before, I think it defaults to public.
You sure?
That's my understanding.
No, I'm pretty sure, because mine was public before, and it changed it.
Somebody make a new Facebook page.
Anyway, but basically, the reason I got done by this giant bomb Facebook login add-on is because basically it was very convenient.
Yeah.
But it never occurred to me, you know, at the time, because I just clicked up and said, oh, what's this? And that, you know, and then it immediately connected to my Facebook profile, and it had me all signed up the giant bomb. It was able to access my name. And even it connected to the Xbox Live account that I connected to my Facebook profile, and, you know, it imported over my achievements and things like that.
Yeah. And so useful.
It was very convenient. And don't get me wrong, but convenience can hide the most horrible of evils in there.
Mm-hmm.
And that's your own privacy.
But that, I mean...
But if the convenience is so great, nobody cares.
Yeah.
Or
exactly. That's a big share your all your information button. But because it's like, it saves you typing in your email address and setting your name and going doing, using the authorization, going to your mailbox and authorizing it through the authorization email. Mm-hmm.
Johnny,
you
especially will have come across this in fixing people's computers. You will find that they've done all sorts of shit to the computer that they don't know, because when a box comes up,
they've hit
okay
yes.
to go away.
They've hit yes or okay,
make the box
or install,
disappear.
And it
allow. People don't care what it's doing as long as it doesn't bother them for too long. Just
fair
go away,
enough.
Leave me alone.
So
they'll just agree to anything
because
they trust that nothing bad can happen. It's just on the internet.
Mm. Well, that's why there's things like the electronic... Frontier Foundation, I think it is, or Freedom. Is it Electronic Freedom Foundation or Frontier or not? EFF. But these entities and bodies exist to sort of represent a people that aren't aware of what's going on, and they fight the good fight illegally across the world. But I think it's the Electronic Frontier Foundation. Yes, it is. And their slogan is...
Fuck Facebook. Fuck Facebook in the nose.
No, that's not their slogan. Their slogan is...
probably not as classy as that.
Not as classy as that, no. It's defending freedom in the digital age.
I told you it wasn't as classy.
No.
Nor as catchy.
Nor as punchy.
But they talk about free speech, privacy, fair use, innovation, transparency, and international law and these things. And they try and make people aware and let them know what is going on with Facebook settings and with changes in terms and conditions across the internet. If anybody is worried about it, they can check that and keep an eye on what's going on. I ashamedly usually don't care. My Facebook is public, although certain aspects aren't. I don't publicize my phone number, my address. I don't even know if my address is written on it.
Yeah, my phone number's there.
Yeah, that's another thing about Facebook. Why does it give you the option to do that? That's the least secure thing you could ever do. And
to
it just
make your
invites
mobile
you
number
to do
public?
It. Why do they need to do that? Why would you want to do that?
It's not handy. Basically, you're saying you are and need to get in contact with somebody. You can go to your Facebook friends list and you can see their contacts.
How
it's
would
actually
you get in Facebook?
Because it's supposed to be the address book of the internet.
Yeah, it's supposed to be your hub with your friends. If you want to find out how to call your friend, it makes sense that you should go to this hub. But I completely agree with you. I don't think personal information like that. You know, if someone wants my phone number, they're going to ask me or Facebook.
Yeah, I can see why people use it then.
But I can see.
Yeah, I see your point.
Anyway, in more light news, a team is setting out to clear the bodies from Everest death zone. So we're going to... talk about this for a minute. A team of Nepali mountaineers will leave Kathmandu tomorrow. Well, tomorrow on the day that this was reported. This was reported on the 19th of April, which is a week and a half ago. They've already headed out, I imagine, for Mount Everest, the world's highest peak, where they hope to climb more than 8,000 metres to clear the mountain's death zone of tons of rubbish and remove the bodies of dead climbers. So yeah, that's a cheery thought.
How do you get the feeling that it's not going to be as delicate and as lovely as removing bodies is previously in the past? Because these bodies are basically going to be frozen. It's basically going to be going up the mountain with a hammer and hammering these corpses off the side of the mountain.
Well, I wonder if there's a follow-up article about how their event went. There's a lot of articles here about to be cleaned up and
have
setting
they been
out.
Up there now?
Yeah, it would have been last week. Plans to set up is going to spring clean the death zone. extreme. Yeah, it's a spring clean the death zone.
Which slope is that on? Eastern? Western?
Oh, I'll go back to the record.
Southern? Bottom? Top? Clockwise? Strange?
I know.
Get into your quark physics there, sir.
Yeah.
All right.
I had to get in there somewhere.
Of course you did. Ah, dear. Quantum. Though many foreign and Nepali expeditions have set out to clear parts of the mountain in the past, the Sherpa that is the leader of the Extreme Everest Expedition 2010 said that no one had tried to clear at that height before. This is the first time we're clearing the death zone. It is very difficult and dangerous. He's climbed Everest 7 times already, so he knows.
Well, it's... Isn't he sure just like sending that they're a rubber's face to the people that failed?
I hope not, but yeah.
That sounds unhygienic.
Not only have I been up Everest 7 times.
But now I'm gonna clear all your bodies up off the fucking summit.
Stop besmirching my beloved mountain, which I've climbed 7 times and you've climbed, 1/3.
Oh, I wonder.
What do you wonder, Wonderkid?
I wonder, just in my head, if it's plausible, if it's just possible that it's actually evidence that the world's a giant computer game, and this is where some sniper has respawned several times and got killed. And his body just stays there for the rest of the game.
Yeah.
You know?
So he was.
They have to move him just in case somebody goes, that's all the same person.
Yeah.
Or they get telefragged.
Damn it, I didn't think of that.
Anyway, the zone earned its name because it's almost impossible to survive the harsh temperatures and the thin air of such altitudes.
Apart from the Sherpa that climbed it 7 times.
Yeah. Where there is
a death zone.
A third...
He has renamed it in his head the mild discomfort zone as he paused right at the top.
Where there's a third as much oxygen as at sea level for more than a couple of days. What?
Is that why Mr. Cognito sounds so strange? He's not used to the oxygen.
Yeah, it's been a bit difficult for him.
I love the fact that they'll probably get up there and go to the dev zone and find that the bodies are all gone and then find them buried next to the hut of a crazy man.
Okay. Anyone who remains within...
If they find his laboratory, he'll be pissed.
Anyone who remains within the zone for longer than a couple of days will almost certainly perish.
Apart from the Sherpa who's leading the expedition, he calls it home.
The climbers will be...
There's a chalet up there.
The climbers will use special bikes to collect the bodies, which lie between the South Col and the 8,850-metre summit. Before lowering them down the snow and ice fields of the mountain and then carrying them across glaciers to base camp.
They make that sound really nice, but I bet you it's like in those giant ice bags that you buy at Iceland for parties, but with like red ice cubes instead.
The expedition hopes to retrieve 5 bodies, including that of a climber killed 2 years ago. Killed? Killed by the mountain?
Yeah. Killed by the Sherpa.
Killed by the Sherpa.
You will not beat me.
The dead zone's actually his property, and he's killing people who are trespassing.
You wouldn't say killed. The mountain doesn't have an intent.
Died. Yeah, it does make the mountain seem very malevolent.
Maybe somebody or something has malevolence.
Defenders.
The bottle.
Maybe. Scores of corpses preserved by the freezing temperatures remain on the mountain, some for decades. Quote, I have seen 3 corpses lying there for years.
On fire on the shore.
The Sherpa said.
Well, as he heated them up with a hairdryer.
He did actually say.
As it made them look like they were playing cards with each other surrounded by a broken fire.
I've named them, it gets lonely up there. I know who the Sherpa is.
Well, he says he's going to bring down the body of a Swiss climber who died in the mountain in 2008 and cremate it below the base camp, for which we now have got the family's consent. That's very lucky.
Nah, leave him up there. I don't want to sign anything right now. They seem to say.
He says it. No, I suppose it is it. After you're dead.
It's an ice cube now.
Very disrespectful. We're the man that climbs the mountain at will, just to mock the grieving parents of the people that failed.
How many moons him from up there?
He probably can laugh.
In addition to this, apparently litter on the mountain was a major environmental problem until the Nepalese government imposed strict rules requiring visitors to keep the peak clean or risk losing a substantial deposit.
Wow! That must piss off the fine visitors of the summit they get per decade.
No, actually, it's actually...
Every little builds up.
Actually, Everest has a sort of odd sort of tourism surrounding it in the summertime. People try and come and attempt to climb it. It's like turned into some sort of sensationalist thing. It's probably because of the Facebook generation and people just allowing things to happen. They're probably just like, I'll join the I Bet You I Could Climb Everest group and just head out there this summer.
Steve Malowitz from Pittsburgh goes past the death zone mocking the serious climbers below.
This summer, horror on Everest.
So yeah, hopefully the Sherpa survived and was able to get that man down to burn his remains and tidied up the mine. I can't find a follow-up article. If I do find one, I'll throw it in the show.
Is cremating a frozen man like sort of like cooking food? Like, did they have to put him in a big microwave and defrost him first?
I don't know. I'll try and find the article, and if we find something, we'll report it.
Plus, defrosting anything in the microwave takes forever, so that must take like 4 hours just so they could take them outside and
burn. I think they have to segment them, put them in several microwaves.
Well, let's go further up into the atmosphere and even outside it and talk about now.
Oh.
The fact that it is the 20th birthday of the Hubble telescope.
Yeah.
It went up in the year 2000.
20th?
Wait, that's 20th. Not 20 years.
Didn't go up in the year 2000.
According to this audio slideshow that I was listening to.
Well, maybe they kept it on the ground for 10 years. Oh, it works. Let's send it into space. Oh, that'd be awesome.
That must have went up in 1990.
Where's the project?
Yeah, 1990.
I don't know. The guy in the audio slideshow that we're going to link to in the show notes, I think he did say it went up in 2000. I think that's a slip of the tongue by that man. But yeah, there is an audio slideshow available on the BBC News website just talking about the first 20 years of Hubble, showing a number of the photographs that it's taken. And
in all fairness, Johnny, out of the 20 years, how many of those years was the Hubble's telescope actually working?
I think it's quite a few.
Yeah, it's most of it.
So there?
Yeah. No, it's fairly regular.
Enough of your misanthropy, as they say. But no, it wouldn't be misanthropy. Yeah, because it's not against people, it's against technology. So, as you said, technology bully. But,
I hate technology.
Hubble, you can't.
So for 20 years it's been sitting up there outside the atmosphere of Earth taking lovely little snapshots of the history of space and time, and
it has literally
literally, not even figuratively, it's not literally been figuratively. But
most of it looks like something could have whipped up on Photoshop.
Well, I think it predates Photoshop.
Oh, that's
Photoshop's ability to do that anyway.
Well, they had to do that, yeah. Okay, but yeah, there's anyway, the point is there are some lovely photographs from the Hubble Space Telescope. We'll put a link in the show notes. James doubts the existence of these photographs being genuine.
I doubt the existence
of
everything.
Right, okay, that's me sorting this out. I'm going to raise our altitude. You're going to see Hubble. You're going to look through the little eyepiece on the side.
Good, because I've got a stick downstairs safe for it.
You're see ships on fire on the shores of Orion.
I'm a ship and I'm on fire! Help me!
Fuck off, you ship!
Oh,
what's
joy.
Next, Sully? Sorry.
The joys of editing. But, yeah. Following on from the Hubble Space Telescope, Stephen Hawking has been putting in his 2 cents about the whole idea of international space.
Oh, yeah, he's like, you know... He doesn't think we should talk to aliens.
He's recently come out as saying, screw this, stop talking to the aliens, we're all gonna fucking die if we keep doing this.
And do it again.
Fuck
in his
you
voice.
Guys.
Well, if we heard, yeah.
Have
he
you
does
not
have a point.
Seen Independence Day? That didn't work out well. And what about
Is
War on the Worlds? Plus, that E.T. never seemed quite right to me.
He couldn't.
Where was his penis? Penis. Penis. What's Control Alt Delete on a Mac?
Okay. Oh dear.
And Sun Microsystems, his voice.
No, is it real?
This is Sun Microsystems system.
Is it really? You think he can afford better equipment?
No, he was offered.
Equipment.
He was offered an upgrade for the software and his voice, and he turned down the upgrade.
Yeah,
for
the reason he cited was that people had become ubiquitous with his voice. This
yeah.
is who people recognized him as, and he had a Specsavers advert done, and he didn't want to ruin that.
Yeah,
so
the whole thing again, go up into space in that rocket again, and it's just very expensive.
I know, but they've only done something really crazy, like laser scan his vocal cords and recreate what his voice should sound like, and it would just be really creepy.
Hello.
Anyway, what he actually
what
said...
they really need to build him is like some sort of robotic exoskeleton.
Oh, I made a Lego Technic.
Yeah. Like Iron Man with his face.
Like this.
Yeah.
I'm here to save you.
Save you.
And discuss space and time. Up, up and away.
You're trapped in a loop where time becomes a loop, becomes a loop. Becomes a loop, becomes a loop, becomes a loop, becomes a loop. Read page 86 for more detail.
Okay, so his essential quote is, if we continue to look for aliens in space, try and find someone to contact us, if they're advanced enough to come to our planet and contact us, they are probably looking for their own resources, their own version of unobtainium. The alarms are sounding!
Oh, do you know what it probably is?
Well, yeah, what is
it? I think it's probably the source of all the power for Steve Jobs' reality distortion field. I think that's the key to hyperlight travel.
Unobtainium? The reality distortion field of Stephen.
No, sorry, it's a smoke alarm. I left a pop tart in there too now.
Oh, it's okay. Pop tarts.
But once you pop, you just can't stop.
That's for incinerating waste and feces.
Hell to my pop tarts.
Alright.
Smell of tarty goodness.
Oh, chocolatey.
What?
That was a strawberry one, wasn't it?
Damn European Space Agency, I ordered jam!
Okay. I think it was jam before you put it in the toilet burner!
You asked them to do one thing, I swear to God, those bloody Frenchies, they couldn't order it. I swear there's not snails in there.
Let me see. No,
there's not snails in there. Was that bad? Edit that joke out, that was terrible.
I know, I will.
Okay. Why are you look so disappointed? That was a bad joke, James. God, what the fuck am I paying you for here, boy?
You're supposed to be the talent.
He's spending all his wages on ties, have you noticed that? Ties?
Ties.
Hard light ties?
Hard light ties, they're expensive.
Ties.
I mean, just the design work alone. Anyway.
When was the last time you bought milk, James? Bought milk for the station. Bought milk.
I was
you can't,
to,
can you?
I was going to buy magic beans instead.
You can't grow magic beans in an upper atmosphere. It's just not possible.
They didn't tell me that. They got all frozen.
We should have kept their cow.
Well, it didn't like it, to be fair, Johnny.
Well, yeah.
I didn't like it. I didn't, you know, it's a particular brand of ice cream wasn't
what
particularly
I'll,
pleasant.
What I'll do is I'll put some compost around Jesus' crotch on the top of the space station. You can plant them there and he can grow pubic hair.
Thank you, Ben.
Oh, you're welcome.
Thank you.
Our lots
that would
were
be very exciting to me.
Might drag the station down a wee bit, but it's okay.
Are we not going to fix how it's going to fly yet?
No, we are. I'll drop the schematics. I'll put them in the show notes if you'd like. So the people looking can find pictures of us if they're looking carefully enough with a powerful enough telescope and they're looking in the right place, if you can find us.
There's a question. If you turn Hubble around and face Earth, how effective would it be?
Well, no, because it's got a focal length of, like, infinity.
Well, surely it could see very close up then.
I know, but isn't it... Somehow I imagine that's quite like...
No, that's infinitesimally or something. Damn you, I didn't put my science head today.
Is it even a standard telescope? Is it not some sort of advanced super radio?
They had to fit a second. No. They had to fit a secondary device onto it to ensure that's okay. They had to fit a secondary device onto it to correct its focal length, as you said. At first, it was a distorted mirror, so they had to build a second device to attach it to correct its focus, rather than rebuild the mirror. Which is a good idea.
Yeah.
It's efficient. But
it only costs $3 billion.
Yeah, but look what we can see. We can see heaven in that.
Ben.
Hey.
Ben.
Dawkins.
I'm going to reach across the aisle here and say, should we put an accord together for James to do this week's show notes?
I would shake on it, but it would be pointless.
I would, but I pretty have broken my hands.
So committed to being the talent this man is.
I knew he had a third hand! I knew it! Fucking mutant!
There we go!
You're not even fucking married, are you?
That's what they call commitment to the bit. Anyway.
God, that looks sore, man. Are you wearing football boots? On the station? I'm sorry!
He's just broken all three of his hands and you slap him?
Commit to a hospital.
Slap them in the penis. Leave him alone. Leave him alone as well. He's had enough.
They're not even football boots. I stole them off a frozen hiker.
Were they the ones that were left outside the docking port?
Yeah.
The aft docking port?
Yeah.
Where the fuck did they come from?
It's right next to the welcome mat that said, if you're reading this, please fuck off.
Okay, I think we're going to have to attend to James's per hands here. Ladies and gentlemen, it is the end of our show.
Yes. Is that because we're talking too much bollocks, Johnny? Have you lost your patience?
No. It's because he's broken all three of his hands and you slapped him in the penis.
Yeah.
It's time to go.
It's because we won!
What's that noise, people? It's James with a sore penis.
We really have run out of Stone Cold Facts.
Stone Cold Facts!
That's a Stone Cold Fact right there!
Yeah!
Delivered from our fists to your brain.
Oh, P.S. You can also find the Antipope at the twitter.com/TheRealAntipope.
You've suddenly regained some of your composure, James. Is that because you're promoting yourself as the real Antipope?
No, it's because Ben found some freaky, freaky leftover morphine from the 70s. Those damn Ruskies, I'm tripping my balls off.
That's goodbye for me.
That's goodbye from me.
That's a goodbye from
them.
Me.
Them, I suppose.
Them. Those two.
Yeah.
Geronimo! I can't.
Second verse showing?
Someone hit stop.
And now a word from someone who isn't sponsoring us.
Now, you join me at a tremendously exciting moment. I'll probably end up dead as a result, floating in blood. She's going to replace me with several cats. One could be called Neil the Cat, and the second one could be called Neil the Cat the Second. Well, maybe. I'm the Pope. I'm pretty much the king of all men, until Jesus turns up. It's into your head. I need a piss.